So let me introduce you to Cody Williams, who's joining us from, I think you're in California. If you're locked down, that's where you are, right?
I'm locked down in California, yes.
Yep, safe. Safe in California. Well, welcome. You want to say hi and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. I hear we have a very large group. I'm excited to hear that. Yeah, so as far as introducing myself, Cody Williams here. I've made my home for the most of the last 35 years here in San Luis Obispo, California, which for those who aren't familiar, it's approximately halfway between L.A. and San Francisco, but on the coast. It's a smaller area, and it's just been a super great place to be rooted, and it's a hub for me for sure. Grew up in Michigan, though, and that came out after I was 18 and ended up staying in California. As far as vocationally speaking, I've been on quite a journey. I like to joke that I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but it's probably a little more complicated than that. I was a police officer in my 20s for about 6 years, and then I moved into pastoral ministry, and I was a pastor for about 10 or 11 years. That ended up turning into me being involved in international humanitarian aid work. And I moved into a season of being quite entrepreneurial. So I've started some of my own businesses. I've started some nonprofit organizations and just have had so much fun learning about all of that and working in that. And then for the last 5 or 6 years, I've been mostly filling out my practice, first as a consultant, and then for the last 3 years, added professional coaching to my bag of tricks. So I do that as well and have a really fun and full practice with that. So the common thread, although I've had people say, police officer, pastor, entrepreneur, that's kind of crazy. It is, and yet the underlying thread and all that is I've consistently showed up as a trainer or a mentor or a consultant. I love helping people. When I learned about the art and science of professional coaching about 3.5 years ago, I was so ready to learn more. So I completed my CTA training and certification in 2017, and I've been operating my own coaching practice for the last 3 years. And I just love to help leaders achieve breakthroughs in confidence and competence. Been doing that now and having a lot of fun. Well, about 1.5 years into that, I got recruited by CTA to join the faculty as a mentor coach. And I was honored and so excited to do that. And now I've been in that seat with CTA now for just over 1 year. And I just absolutely love training coaches, and I love helping people start new businesses. I actually do consulting work along those lines outside of coaching. So the combination of the two is such a perfect fit for me, and I have a lot of fun in our classes. Yeah, that's a basic introduction to me, though, and I'm really glad to be on the call with everyone tonight.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. This is awesome. So, well, we have our Charlene, who is our volunteer client today. She has she has the instructions on what to do. I think I'm going to do? Charlene, did you hear you are now a host?
Yes, I got that.
Oh, good, good, good. All right. So I do hear some, I don't know if it's from your line. I'm trying to mute everyone, but if you're near a computer and we've got some, like, you know, emails coming in and stuff like that, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. What did you say, Charlene? I was muting everyone.
Oh, no, I was just plugging in my charger, and then I put my computer on because it's charging on my computer.
Oh, good, good. All right. So we are all muted here, Cody. I'm going to hit *6 and mute, but I'm going to turn it over to you for the coaching session, and then we'll debrief after.
That sounds great. Hey, Charlene. How you doing?
Hey. Good. How are you?
All right. Appreciate you volunteering.
No problem. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited.
Oh, that's normal. That's normal. You know, if it makes you feel any better, I always get a little nervous, too, when I'm talking to new people. So we'll do it together.
Awesome.
All right. What part of Canada are you from?
London, Ontario, close to Toronto.
All right. So you're on the opposite side of the continent from me. How's the weather over there? Is it pretty cold and rainy, or are you starting to find some sunny days?
Actually, yesterday was like the best springy day ever. Today it's freezing again.
But,
oh, no. You know, that's Canada.
That is. Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, so I got used to that thing as well. But I'm glad you had a nice spring day yesterday. We're going to dive in together, and I'm going to go ahead and find out what topic you chose of the two. I think I heard you say you had a couple. Which one would you like to focus on tonight?
I'm going to focus on, so the one I'm going to focus on is, my husband and I are, we filed immigration papers to move to Florida. He is currently living there, and I'm in Canada with the kids. I have two little ones. Mm-hmm. And we have been, he's been there since November, but he's here now with the quarantine and everything. He's been there since November, and we have been having major discussions about whether this is going to be a good move or not, whether we want this or not. So that's the biggest, that's what I'd like to talk about.
Gotcha. So moving from Canada to the U.S. and specifically Florida, that's a big topic. You know, in light of, we'll spend about, which I love digging into big topics, but I always tell people, you know, or I ask, how do you eat a loaf of bread? And it's best, usually we do it one slice at a time, right? So we've got a big topic in about 15 minutes, which is, we'll be able to definitely handle a slice. What in specific do you think you'd love to walk away with when we're done after about 15 minutes together?
Okay. More clarity in terms of, this has been a dream of mine, living somewhere warm. That's my dream. And whether just some clarity in terms of, as a responsible parent, I'm not in my 20s anymore. If this is a good a move, kind of in the direction that I'm looking for or not, kind of just a little bit more clarity. I'm not expecting, like, you know, a thousand aha moments, but just a little bit more clarity, more soul searching. Because
hey, we're gonna reach for 999 ahas. We won't get a thousand, though. That sounds good. That sounds cool. I love hearing I hear you. What's undergirding that, it sounds like, is this dream to move somewhere warm. I can really resonate with that as well. Mm-hmm. Well, let's dive in and see if we can find a little bit more clarity. Why don't you get us started? What are your thoughts so far about this, to move or not to move? Why is this the right thing for you? What's behind it?
Right now, as it stands, I'm very confused because of the way Florida has been handling the coronavirus and just a lot of the stuff that's going on in the news. It's just right now, it's not very looking good to me. Also, healthcare issues come up a lot. Kind of not free healthcare in Canada, but we don't have to worry about this. And in the States, it's a whole different way of life, and having to set aside money. We're finally out of debt here, and now when we move, we'll have to set aside money. So the healthcare, and also my kids are in French school, and I value languages. And I guess there they don't value languages. I talk to people at the school board, so I'd be settling a little. We'd be hiring tutors. So right now, to answer your question, it's not very positive. It's not looking very positive right now in terms of just raising a family there. But yeah.
Okay. No, I hear those concerns. That sounds really responsible and reasonable. One makes me curious about this next question, which is the issue whether you ever make this move or when you make this move?
Good question. this is a tough one to answer. It's whether, I think, more than when. That's a major question.
Okay. What would be the two or three most important factors for you to know inside that you're at peace with the move?
No financial stress, or very little.
Okay.
Quality of life, better quality of life.
Okay.
To me, that's just more outdoor time, more fun stuff to do all year round, and better health for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Better health. Good. So where are you at in determining whether you can get off? I presume Florida. You've chosen Florida because you believe that you've done a little research and you believe you can get all three of them there. Is that safe to assume?
In the beginning, we did assume that, except for now the financial stress part. That might be a hindrance.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about this?
Yeah.
What are the nuts and bolts under that?
It's more, my husband's very, he loves the fact that we're out of debt, and he's very good with money, and very good at saving, and we have, money in stocks and stuff like that. but we just didn't expect to have to now go back and potentially back in debt. If God forbid anything should happen to our kids and we have to take them to the hospital, and we don't know what his plan, right? His health insurance plan covers. We're learning about all this stuff, that stuff we never have to worry about in Canada. So it's just very new to us having to think about all these things. And I don't want to see him stressed, right? I'm more laid back with the money and he's not so much. So I just don't like to see him stressed, in terms of money, right? Yeah. Having to
Did I hear you? Well, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
There's a smidge of a delay, and so if I jump in, it's not because I'm trying to cut you off. I think if I heard you right, he already moved to Florida or headed to Florida. Was that work related? Is he back home in Canada now? I missed that conclusion there.
Yes, he got a job in Florida in November.
Okay. Okay.
And he's been there, like he still has his apartment, but he came for vacation right before everything happened with the virus.
Gotcha.
And now he's just working from home remotely from Canada.
Yep. Well, thankfully he got trapped at home instead of away from home.
Yes. Oh, thank God.
All right. So, okay, so I hear you. So he's got the job, and that was part of all that. And I heard you note that some health concerns could be, a threat to you remaining debt-free. Is there anything else that you're concerned about there?
No, in terms of the debt, no. I mean, we'd have to spend money on tutors and stuff, but no, in terms of, it's just the health thing is a big deal. We're getting older. We're not getting younger. Our kids are going to get older. So we're trying to plan. We're trying to be responsible, right?
Yeah, it's a lifelong effort, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what would need to happen for you to feel ready to start packing?
I would want him to be happy in his job, which he's not right now. He's really not. He's miserable.
Okay.
I want to see him happy. I want to see him more comfortable with the whole idea of healthcare. I also need to feel a bit more comfortable with the fact that we can afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to have a crystal ball, let's be honest. I would really love to have a crystal ball that could tell me exactly what my future is going to look like. And that's where I struggle with the last, not being able to control that. And there's a lot of unknowns, right? All that causes stress, right?
I hear you. Well, you're right. Crystal balls are tough to come by. But I'll tell you what's not hard to come by is the opportunity to really lean in and size up what conditions, how to understand which conditions would help you feel at peace taking some risk, qualified risk. So I heard you note a couple things. Obviously, remaining debt-free is super important to your family. And when I asked you what would need to happen for you to be ready to pack, you said my husband's happiness in his job, and he doesn't have that now. So I'm assuming that's the job that he took that's in Florida?
Yeah, he took it just to help with immigration. But now with this virus, it's going to take a lot longer for things to happen. So he doesn't want to – I don't want to see him struggle more in this job, right?
Sure. I got you. And then the other thing that would need to happen is that he and you would need to get more comfortable with what your exposure is with regards to expenses and healthcare. Was that right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I like to do with clients from time to time, I'll throw this out. You tell me if it's something you think that would be helpful for you, is reframing something that you're potentially afraid about into an intention, which is an opportunity to move from a place of feeling like you have no control and you're a victim to moving into a place where you're at choice and you realize that there are some things that you can do to reduce or better understand those concerns. Does that sound like something you might want to explore?
Please.
Okay. Yeah, so to set it up, for example, this is an interesting one I'll start with, I think, would be the easier of the two first. You talked about you and your husband becoming more comfortable with regards to the healthcare costs that you might incur in Florida and what that would do if you saved enough for it, right? So I hear you that is a concern. It's a reasonable concern. What are two things that you could do that you could form some intention around and do that could reduce some of the unknown fears around that?
We've talked about setting money from the sale of our house aside into like a separate account and
okay.
just putting money into that account just so that for rainy day kind of thing. If God forbid it to happen.
Sure.
So that's one thing. And then another thing is, besides setting money aside, I don't know what else. We've done a lot of research, like to keep doing research.
Okay.
He's talked to his healthcare plan, potentially getting jobs that provide good healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Eventually, we want to each have our own businesses. Each one of us wants to have our own business eventually. So the the only thing we honestly thought of is putting money aside from the sale of our house into a separate account.
Okay. Did that seem – tell me how that worked for you guys. When you came up with that idea, did that seem like enough? Is it sort of settled between you that would do it? Tell me more about that.
You know what? It did, but there was both of us actually looked at each other and thought, really, is this what we want to do with our savings? Is this what we really want? Or don't we want to enjoy our life with, like, now that we're out of debt, our life in Canada would look different.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thought, yeah, we could do it, but we would really love to not have to do that. We would love the extra money for, like, whatever the kids want, like extracurricular activities, travel, stuff like that. So it was okay, but it didn't sit well with us like 1,000% where we're like, okay, there, problem solved.
Like, gotcha.
It was almost like still a gloom and doom still that was going to be hanging over our heads. Like, are we going to worry about our kids tripping and falling every 5 seconds? Like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. We don't think about these things here in Canada. It's just different.
I gotcha. Well, that makes for the classic, you know, conundrum of do I choose curtain A or curtain B, right? So you definitely are engaged in thinking about the right things. And it sounds like we don't have time to unpack all the pros and cons to staying, but I'm hearing some energy and some ideas from you about it really being something that there are some good reasons to consider staying put as well, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. We've been doing a lot of those talks. We've had a lot of those talks too. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's something you said earlier that sounded really important to me, and I'd just like to hold that together with that. You said, my dream has been to move somewhere warm. So I would tell me, how does that go together with you getting your head and heart wrapped around staying put? Because of all the obvious pros to staying put. But what does that do in you?
Honestly, I've done so much soul searching this week about this. It makes me sad. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel really sad. A part of me wonders sometimes, like, am I settling? Am I trying to find reasons not to move because I'm scared? Or am I trying to be the responsible parent? It's being torn between being responsible because now I'm a parent and I do have the future of our children to think about. Or, my God, look at this dream of mine. This is tough for me. It's a very tough one. Like, I don't want to be selfish either, right? Like, yes, I really do want to live somewhere more. It doesn't have to be Florida. We've researched other places. But that's what I really want. But am I willing to do that at the expense of our financial, right? Like, health as well and our sanity. So it's a toss-up. It's funny. I'm so glad you pointed that out to me. And thank you for not missing that, because that's huge for me. Like, that's the dream of me. Like, ever since I didn't grow up in Canada, I grew up in Lebanon where it's very warm, and I moved here at 18. And ever since I was 18 here in Canada, I thought to myself, I'm not staying here. There's no way I'm going to move to the warm one day. thank you for acknowledging that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that makes me want to revisit a question I asked you earlier about, and maybe now I wonder if you would be thinking about it any differently, is the notion about a decision that supports something that you dream about, is it more about whether you do it or when you do it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, whether we do it in retirement or whether we do it now, those yes, I hear now I understand the question better. Yeah,
and you can fill the blank in any way you like. It could be retirement. It could be we're going to revisit this analysis in 5 years. You know, there. I'm glad to hear that it settled on you a little differently. Because even in the way that you responded to me remembering that it was your dream to move somewhere warm, this is something that I hear is going to remain important to you. And so it sounds like it needs to remain important in the discussion too.
I 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you could imagine, we're kind of at the tail end of our time together, which I'm sad about. I'd love to talk to you about this longer. But if you were to imagine, you know, from what we've talked about so far, what's one thing you think that you can do next that will help you feel better about the decision as a family?
I think, to be honest, allowing myself to keep dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing myself to be open to the when and not the whether so much. I think if I can keep it open for myself as a when, then I won't be so depressed about it not happening. I think I just need to give myself that much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. I think that would be really valuable for you, too. I'm glad to hear you honoring that in yourself.
Yeah, I have to.
Good. Well, listen, let's shift gears together. Thank you for showing up with such transparency in that. That's what makes coaching work so well. I'd love to just ask you, before I invite some questions and thoughts from other people on the call, where did you find the most value in the coaching time together?
Okay, so two things. The first thing that stood out to me the most is that question that I'm a talker and I answer, okay, and I can answer stuff. But the one thing that stumped me was when you asked me whether or when question. I don't know how that happened, but that I got great value from that.
Okay, good.
It made me think in a different way. It made me not so black and white about it. Like, is it going to happen or not? That helped me. And then the other thing that really helped me is that I know I talk fast. And the fact that you caught the most important part, to be honest, of everything that I said, the fact that I only said it once and you caught it. When I said this dream of mine that I've always wanted to, blah, blah, blah. And then I just, like, diarrheaed over the rest of it. Like, I just kept talking. But the fact that you caught that meant a lot. So you were very, I love that you caught it. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It was awesome to catch that because you could have not, honestly. I towards the end, I thought, he probably, you know, I'm not going to go into that. We don't have time. But then you did. You caught it. So thank you. And I just really want to thank you for that.
You're welcome. No, you're welcome. And then before we invite others too, I appreciate you sharing that. I'd love to also hear, what's something you learned about coaching from this demo?
Oof, man. Okay, so I'm a social worker. Okay, so I do counseling with people. I've never experienced a real coaching session. That's why I was so eager to try it. What I noticed was that's so different than what I've done is you really, it's the questions. It's the questions that are asked are so different than what I'm used to. Like, you ask me questions and I'm like, whoa, where did that question come from? Why did I not even think of that? So it's the quality of the question for me that stood out as the difference.
Nice. Yeah. Well, listen, you've been a great volunteer client tonight, Charlene. I really appreciate that, and I wish you and your family the best. I feel certain with as much as you care about this that you guys are going to do well with your decision.
Thank you, and thank you so much for taking the time to
help. Absolutely. You bet. Thanks. Okay, well, now I'd love to open it up to others on the call. I'd love to ask this question. What did you learn about yourself or about coaching from what you heard?
And you'll have to hit *6 to unmute because I muted everyone.
Okay.
This is Diana from Southern California.
Hi.
Also on lockdown.
Thank you very much. No, I was really interested
I need to interrupt real quick. I'm sorry. A woman named Diane had gone on just before you, so could I take you next and have her first?
Of course.
Is that okay?
Of course.
Okay, thank you, sir.
No problem.
Thank you. I was just going to say, feedback-wise, so something that I thought was done really, really incredibly skillfully is a partnership piece. So there was a very clear beginning comment that you made as far as gaining trust with the client and saying we're going to do this together. And then also in closing, there was another statement you made in that same vein. So it was kind of a nice not being the individual to provide advice.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great observation, Diane. The thing we learn how to do in coaching is how to sit in a co-creative relationship with a partner. And we recognize that our clients are the experts on their own lives. So we're not being sought out as coaches to be subject matter experts. We're really sitting next to and with the client through deep listening and powerful questions to help mine the wealth of wisdom and intuition and clarity that they have within themselves if they get a chance to unpack it in a constructive way. And so it's critical for coaches.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, go.
Last thing I'll say is that it's such a critical reason why we approach it that way and frame up the relationship between coach and client. And it's unique. It's a unique relationship compared to many others, particularly consulting. But go ahead with your other thought.
My other thought is, I'm sure you got this a lot, but you did it really fantastic in gaining clarity. I wasn't entirely sure if it was two-parted. It was asking questions that help the client get clarity for themselves, but it also seemed like it's a good technique to make sure that you as a coach are clear on what questions to follow up with, that you're both on the same page on what the issue is, instead of just going through a script, if that makes sense. So I thought that was just
Absolutely. Fantastic
to witness.
I'm glad you caught that. So for you and for everyone else on the call, that's another really critical part of the foundation of what makes professional coaching work well is in the way that we train in CTA is that we have the client drive the bus, so to speak. The client decides the topic. The client has to decide and take responsibility for the takeaway that we're going to work on together. That sets the playing field, so to speak, for the session. And then we learn how to ask questions and listen deeply for coachable moments and recognize when a coachable moment might be there. And then, you know, come alongside to facilitate the breakthrough in thinking or ideas that happen for the client and then help frame that accomplishment into something that leads to an action point of some kind that can help them move forward. So what I feel like what you were observing there was just the simple coaching model that we teach, frankly, at work. And it creates a framework that allows a coach and the client to both feel comfortable in their role for the whole session. Yeah. Yeah, so great observations, Diane. And then the gentleman who came, thank you. The gentleman who came on as well and that I asked to wait, would you please come on next and tell me your name?
Of course. My name is Sion.
Hey, Sion.
Hi. I was actually, it's pretty connected to the first question. I find this questioning process quite fascinating. And it's pretty much actually the point that I'm struggling with this life coaching training. Let me be a little bit more specific. I've been a consultant for many, many years, and the element that I'm struggling with is the definition of guidance. We talk about guidance in life coaching, okay. But the fine line between guidance and giving advice or opinion. That is, and you are also a consultant because apparently you have two hats
yes.
in your profession. You are a life coach and consultant. This is obviously something that we need to untrain ourselves, if I do believe,
yes.
and trying to put down our natural tendency to give some opinion or feedback, but feedback in terms, again, of advice. So my question mm-hmm. being, does it happen to you in some of your life coaching with some clients? Do you feel that you need to give some advice or opinion at one point, or just never?
Great question. Yes, yeah, so I'm much more accomplished, for lack of a better word. I've had more years under my belt as a consultant than as a coach, so I have to very clearly understand the distinction, and you would as well, so I appreciate the question. What I tell myself to help me stay in the coaching lane and use the coaching things that I've learned and not cross over is a simple phrase of ask, don't tell, ask, don't tell, ask, don't tell. And so when I'm being paid as a consultant, I'm being paid to tell them what I think. When someone's paying me to coach, they're not paying me to tell them what I think. They're paying me to help them in a co-creative role to unpack their own wisdom. And what I've learned over time, because I'm a personal growth and formation junkie, is that the deeper,
I relate to this.
The deeper, more sustainable life, you know, transformation growth steps we make are ones that we achieve the aha somewhat on our own, right? It doesn't mean we don't have outside resources, but that's what a coach's role is, to be an outsourced resource. But when you just tell people what to do, it's not as transformative and powerful for them as if you were to patiently come alongside them with coaching skills and help them unlock the aha for themselves. And the more that I experience that, Fionn, I have to tell you, I just love it. I love the power of the transformation, the power of the breakthrough when the person is helped to come up with it on their own. And that only happens when we stay curious and stay away from giving advice. I will tell you, and wrapping up this response, though, for now tonight, that it is a challenge, and yet it's one you absolutely can learn the difference of. And I've gotten to the point now where I love being able to help clients understand what they're hiring me for and which hat I should wear. And it works quite well for me, and I'm sure the same could happen for you. I appreciate the good question, Sam.
I hear you. Thank you very much.
Yes, this is Sheldon from Austin.
Hey, Sheldon from Austin.
How's it going? What I was trying to take away from the night and what I'm trying to go moving forward is I'm also in the social work field, and I actually started off in this peer support and then went into case managing. And between the two, I've found that I absolutely love the journey going on with the client from the peer support role, but then as the case management role, you're kind of more empowered to have the resources and the backing to help the client that you don't as a peer support specialist. And so I was trying to see the life coaching, you kind of take the best from both worlds, because I'm very passionate about helping them help themselves and being part of the journey. And sometimes as a case manager, you're restricted on how involved you can get with a client on being able to assist them in what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. So what would the question be in particular?
As a life coach, do you feel like you have more of a chance to like kind of go with the journey with them? And do you have any problems with the resource aspect of being able to help them out that way when it comes to other communities, organizations being able to be there?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's a lot to that question that I think I'm going to try to touch on some of it, Sheldon, and then I think some of it might get answered or spoken to as well later in the call with Lisa. But so, you know, we had Fionn who was like, okay, consulting and coaching, you know, these seem like they run close to each other. What are the differences? And in your scenario, it's not consulting, it's the social work side. So there are some things that you'll learn that you can and can't do if you're going to stay in the professional coaching lane that are different from the social work you do now. But the one thing I think I hear you saying that sounds really important to you is this idea that you get to stay on the ride with someone on their journey to becoming what they're working towards. Coaching definitely allows you to do that. And in a way that would be different. So really the only thing that's going to start and stop the clock on how much you get to work with somebody is their budget and then their willingness to take responsibility for their work and want to use a coach to get it done. If they want to keep going, you get to stay on the journey. If they run out of their investment or they decided they're done in this particular type of growth season in their life, then the relationship will stop and there'll be an end of that ride for that time being. But you will want to think about the nuances between the two, but I think that as much as I can hear it in your voice that you love helping people, I think coaching is something you should significantly look at. It makes sense. And I appreciate that. I want to have I think I heard Christy. Is that Christy?
Yeah, Christy from
You're
North Carolina.
Fast. Good job.
Get in there.
I
just wanted to comment.
Yes.
The part of the assignments of the prerequisites for my first class on the 11th is to ask 5 people why they think I already would be a good coach. Like why what makes them think I have already those skills. And today I talked to a friend who's a teacher and she's worked for 20 years. And she says she's worked with many coaches, and she didn't know the difference between the coach and the consultant. So I explained that to her because her biggest frustration was that she felt with consultants is that they come in and they police her, whereas mm-hmm. she's worked with coaches who work alongside of her, and she feels more like it's a team. So what I noticed and took away from what you were doing and I need to get better with names, I'm sorry, but in this last coaching session was
Charlene,
you empowered her to
mm-hmm.
take, you know, control of her life. Because I really felt the energy of, like you said, the victim kind of, I didn't think she was a victim, but I think she felt very unsure and insecure. And I felt like towards the end, you kind of empowered her to take back her power and to know that she is in control. And
mm-hmm.
you did that by asking questions. And I feel like if you would have advised her of what to do, that would have taken away her power.
Mm. Yeah, great observation. So that's the goal, is that in coaching, is that we really want to help the client see and hear themselves, understand themselves better. We're listening for the ways that they do that. Right? By the questions we ask, I'm listening for the ways that she does that for herself. I'm listening for important phrases or words or frameworks and the ways that she's thinking about something. And what we do and what we train in the coach training program is we help people become coaches who can listen well for those things and then formulate their next question out of what they're hearing from the last answer. So someone else had mentioned that they noticed it didn't feel like a script, and that's exactly right. When I'm with a client, I'm not interviewing them. I don't have my 10 questions prepared ahead of time, and I'm going to run through them. And really, while they're answering one, I'm going to be thinking about the next one I've already feel smart about. I actually try to come into the coaching session blank, and which is a little frightening on one hand, but in a really fun way. Because when you have the skills and understanding behind you, you can come in blank to a coaching session and really offer, you can really listen much better that way and then use your intuition better that way, so that when you're listening to the answers, I'm actually formulating my next question right out of their sharing of the answer of the last one. And I'm trying to do it in a way, if there still feels like there's room to do it in our flow, to go deeper, to kind of peel the onion and go deeper. Yeah, so with that, each question is being formulated in the direct context of the last thing the client has been sharing. And, you know, you just can't do that as a consultant. It's not the same tool set as that one. So, yeah, I hope that great job observing that. And it sounds like that's something that you're going to do well because you noticed it. So there's at least one of your 5 things for your homework assignment. Is that you're going to do that? I think you're going to do that well. Yeah, hey, thanks for speaking up. And I think for time's sake, I'd love to talk to all of you. I appreciate how friendly and participative everyone's been. But at this point, I'm going to turn the mic back over to Lisa and thank you all for the opportunity to be with you tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Cody.
Well, thank you, Cody.
Thank you.
And-